Could I invite you to open that word that is a light to our feet and a lamp to our path? Back to the very middle of your Bibles, Proverbs chapter 1. If you'll open a Bible or turn on a Bible and scroll it over with me to Proverbs chapter 1, there will be a variety of passages projected on the screen behind me, but we will do a little bit of reading from our own Bibles. It's easy to find. Look right there in the middle for the big book of Psalms. And the next book is the book of Proverbs. There are 31 chapters of that book. We're just going to look at the very beginning over the course of the next few minutes together. Took a little while for the sun to rise this morning. Seemed like there wasn't as much darkness last night in which to sleep. But I appreciate the fact that you are here bright and early, it seems, on this first day of the week, a new God-given week. We praise Him for that. I thank you for the encouragement that I've already drawn from you, and I hope that our time together in God's Word over the next few minutes will be an encouragement to you. What a blessing to have an entire book in the heart of our Bibles full of God-breathed wisdom. I don't know if you're following along with our daily Bible reading schedule, but if you are, yesterday we had a new beginning of sorts. For the last 6+ years, on Saturdays, we have read from the book of Proverbs. Just one chapter a week. But it is absolutely full of wisdom. And that word gets thrown around a lot. Maybe if we were to ask 100 different of you what is wisdom, we might get a wide, wide variety of answers. Could I offer just a very simple definition? God breathed wisdom so that we might learn to live life with skill. That's what God seems to mean right here in the middle of His Bible, in a book full of God-breathed wisdom, where He is teaching men and women, young and old, rich or poor, whomever you are, whatever it is that is your lot in life, He's provided this book full of wisdom so that you might live the life He has given you with skill. Now, that takes some paying attention, obviously, to what He has delivered. A listening ear and a willing heart to consider what He has not only delivered through men like Solomon with this incredible gift, but preserved now for 3,000 years. I want you to think about that this morning. This book, right in the heart of our Bibles, has been there for 3 millennia, translated into languages that people all over God's good globe can read. And it's there because we're not born with this sort of wisdom. I don't care who your parents or your grandparents are. You didn't inherit this skill for living. It might have been modeled for you very, very well by those who love you very, very much. They might have talked with you about this wisdom and tried to show you in flesh and blood what this wisdom looks like in everyday life. But I want you to listen. You weren't born with this. I didn't inherit this. There isn't anywhere you can go this week and just buy this so that you have it. There isn't any app store on your phone or your computer that downloads this wisdom and then you just turn your life over to it. No, God has preserved it. He has breathed it out and captured it and preserved it so that you and I might learn to live life with skill. If you're following along in our daily Bible reading schedule, we pivoted back from two Saturdays ago from Proverbs 31 back to Proverbs 1. And Lord willing, for the next half a year plus, we will just methodically on Saturdays walk through this great book of wisdom. If your Bible is open there to Proverbs 1, could I show you this morning just the mission statement? As a way of encouraging you, if you didn't read this yesterday, listen, you're not far behind at all. There are another 6 days before we get to Proverbs chapter 2. If you need a calendar, they're available in the foyer. You can see our schedule for this week on the inside of the bulletin. You can even download this calendar and have it automatically show up on your phone. Why is that valuable? Worthwhile? Just listen to the mission statement. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 2. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. And we'll just pause right there. Would you notice with me the verbs? You have a creator. Listen, the reason why we as human beings could know exactly when the sun would rise this morning, the reason why people all over this country are talking about a solar eclipse next month and know exactly where to be. I don't know if any of you have rented your yards for tourists who are coming up into this area to watch this solar eclipse like some people. The reason we know exactly where and when to be for that, the reason we know exactly when the sun is going to set this evening, the reason why we know green stuff is just going to keep popping up all around us, even this very week, is because you are not living in the middle of a cosmic accident or coincidence. All around you are the signs, the evidence of a creator, your creator. There is a God, and I'm not him. You're not him. But I want you to listen to what he has revealed right in the heart of his revelation to mankind. There are things he wants you to know. And you're not born with that knowledge. You don't automatically inherit that knowledge. You can't buy it. But it's here for the knowing. There are certain things he wants you to understand. And just notice that word itself. There are things he wants you to know and understand so that you have things under you when life gets tough. You can stand on top of things that are solid and faithful and secure and sure, more sure than the rising of tomorrow morning sun. There are things that your Creator is anxious to give you that you might receive them. Now, he's not going to force them on you. He didn't cause you to be born with this irresistibly like a clone where you are just compelled beyond any human will whatsoever. No, he gave you human will and he desires a relationship with you. Here's where it begins. That you might know and understand and receive what he is anxious to give you. See his heart in those verbs this morning. And notice with me what he wants you to know. He wants you to know wisdom. Could we describe that this morning as right character? You see, this is more than just intellectual knowledge up here in my head. This is more than memorizing lists and being able to spout off things that I have memorized, but my heart belongs to someone else. My heart is somewhere else. My heart, we might say, isn't really in it. No, this is much deeper. God wants me to know what I need to know. He wants you to know what you need to know in order that we might have right character. How many different bits of input will you have? Will your children, will your grandchildren have this week on character? What really matters? How to be a person in society, how a modern day American really lives and thinks and acts and reacts and treats others. How many things will our hearts and our minds be open to this week that all in a wide variety of ways are pushing and pulling and tugging on our character? Listen, your inner person created in God's image is not static. It's not cement. You look over the course just of 2023, and if you're honest with yourself, you can see how you have been shaped and molded. If we go back even farther, over the course of your lifetime, maybe you're not proud of where your character is this morning, because you've allowed the world and all of its input to push and pull and tug and shape you in ways that, when you're honest with yourself, you're not really proud of this morning. But hear the heart of your Father in heaven for you. He desires to show you his character, so that you might know and become who he created you to be, not just sitting in a building on Sunday morning, but living day by day like him. He wants you to know wisdom and instruction. Could we define that this morning, or describe that as right posture or attitude? It's a willingness to acknowledge, I don't know everything. There are things that I can learn, lots of things that I can learn, lots of things that I need to learn. And lots of us enjoy learning, and so we look at everything from books to videos to podcasts to a wide variety of human conversations and opportunities to learn from others. How many different ways will our hearts, the hearts of our children and our grandchildren this week, be instructed? But I want you to hear this morning, this morning, that your Creator has provided you his heart, his desire for you, that you might know and have the right posture of heart. To borrow from the New Testament book of James chapter 1 and verse 21, it is a call to put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness. That's not the heart of our Father in heaven. Listen to the posture, the attitude. Receive with meekness. I mean, really. If there is a God who created all of these things around us, do you think he has anything to say that you and I might not know? Do you think he just might have a way of thinking that just might conceivably be a little higher than our way of thinking? Do you think his perspective might be a little broader, a little more accurate, a little more perfect, if you will, than the way that you and I are able to see all on our own? In such a short amount of time and experience. He wants you to know wisdom and instruction, and he wants to help you understand words of insight. Could we describe that this morning as right thinking? Because you know just as surely as I know, not every bit of insight in this world. I hope you know, not every bit of insight that shows up in your social media feed is worth listening to. Not every bit of insight on cable news is worth paying attention to. Not every bit of insight when it comes to the way that our coworkers think is going to draw us closer to God. Not every bit of insight that we get from the cultural trends around us is worth building our lives upon. But if we could understand the insight of someone who has always been and is and always will be, who has this sort of heart for us, wouldn't that be worth giving a fair hearing? So that in a world so confused, we would be taught to think right. In a world so obsessed with 9 billion plus selves, that we could lift our gaze higher to a reliable North Star, so much higher and better than our own fickle feelings and faulty opinions. Your Creator wants you to know wisdom and insight, to understand words of insight. He wants you to receive instruction. And I want you to notice how we've been moved from right character to right posture. I have a lot to learn to right thinking, now to right living. And he gives us a variety of examples. Right living when it comes to wise dealing. Because today and tomorrow and as long as you have breath in your body, you're constantly going to be balancing, right? Right and wrong, good and evil, selfish and unselfish, holy and unholy, loving and unloving, like the world, like my Father in heaven. You're going to be faced with even choices of, well, this would be good, this would be really good. In fact, this would be the best. How do I learn to balance all of those choices in a way that honors the God who gave me this life and keeps from hurting the people around me, actually helping them to see
our Father in heaven more clearly. Well, that's what he has to offer. Instruction in wise dealing, instruction in righteousness. What's the right thing to do? Some of you are on the very doorstep of graduating from high school, and you're going to step into a world that you've never experienced before, where you have to make choices. Mom and dad aren't going to be there to make the choice for you. And in that moment, you're going to have a balance to strike, a path to choose, priorities to make. What's the right thing to do in this moment? Am I just going to depend on my roommate? Am I just going to depend on how I feel in the moment? Am I just going to depend on what everybody else on campus is doing? Am I just going to depend on what it seems like my peers in popular culture are around me are doing? Or am I going to look to someone who has been there from the very beginning and always told us, even when it was hard for us to hear, what is right? You see, you're not born with that knowledge. It might have been modeled for you. It might not have been. But hear the heart of your Creator, how He wants to help you receive instruction in what is right and in what is just. In fact, we've learned recently, haven't we, that righteousness and justice are the very foundation of His throne. That's more than a memory verse to learn on Sunday morning. That is the reality of the universe in which you live. There is a king of this universe, and righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. He doesn't want to give you a pop quiz when your time on earth is done, unprepared, not knowing the questions, not having any idea other than your best human guess as to the answers. He wants to give you the answers. He wants to provide the instruction. What's right? What's just? What is equitable? How should I treat the people around me? What's it going to look like to treat others the way that I, in fact, would like to be treated? What's the right, the equal, the just, the equitable thing to do, even when I don't feel like making that choice because it's going to cost me? You see, I'm not the center of the universe. I could throw all of that out. You could throw all of that out if this entire universe revolved around you. But you've lived long enough to know that's not the case. You were reminded the last time someone cut you off in traffic, or a movie started and you were late, and it started anyway. You're going to have reminders this week. I am not the center of the universe. So let's not live like that. Let's not live as if we are the determiners of wise dealing, righteousness, justice, and equity. What if we allowed the actual center of the universe to teach us, to give us? Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 4. His heart this morning is to give prudence to the simple. Don't read that as simple-minded. What is being described there is simply the inexperienced. This we could describe as right perspective. There's nothing wrong with being inexperienced. That's the way we're all born. That's the way we all slowly progress through life. Again, some of you are on the doorstep of learning, you know what? I don't know nearly as much as I thought I knew at 17 years old. Because your perspective is being broadened. But what I want you to hear loud and clear this morning is I'm encouraging, God's people are encouraging, bigger perspective, better perspective than the perspective of your parents or your grandparents or the best teachers, the best philosophers, the best thinkers that this world has to offer. You see, this is perspective that is eternally broad and wholly good and just, full of steadfast love and mercy and grace. If only I would have the heart to receive and allow Him to broaden my perspective, that I might have, even as a young person, knowledge and discretion. We could describe that as the right trajectory. I want you to notice how we have been led, even from the very beginning of this book. We who live in a broken and selfish and confused world, from the very beginning of this book, right in the middle of His revelation to mankind, our Creator has said, "Would you please listen up? I know that life under the sun is tough. And it's tough because human beings created in my image haven't been listening to me. But I am here. I have a heart to help you know, help you understand, help you receive, help you live with right character, right attitude, right thinking, right living, right perspective, right trajectory." In our last few minutes together, could I give you just the simplest example of that from the first couple chapters of Proverbs? If you've turned away from there, go back with me to Proverbs chapter 1. Could I leave you this morning with four simple compass points for life? I don't know how you orient yourself with a compass. Every once in a while, I'll hear someone in my household, when they're thinking through that, some great kindergarten or first grade teacher taught them to say, "Never eat sour watermelon." I don't know how you memorize north, south, east, and west. Here's the North Star. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. Here's true north. When you're lost, here's where to look. When you're not sure, here's the light that shines through the dark. When you're struggling to do the right thing because it's going to be really, really tough and really, really costly, here's north. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. He is to be feared. He is to be eminently respected. He is a God, as we have learned recently, full of steadfast love, mercy, grace, such patience. But a God who does hold us accountable. The fear of the Lord is the very beginning of knowledge. Listen, if this is not the cornerstone of all of your education, you are building on sand. I don't care how many degrees you hang on your wall. I don't know how many, don't care how many letters are after your last name. I don't care what doors your reputation opens. If this is not the cornerstone of all of your learning, the very cornerstone of your identity, you are wasting your life and you are building on sand. This is the foundation of it all. Fear your Creator. Here's South. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. He goes on. I'll let you read it if you didn't yesterday. How we all at times have people who say, you don't need to listen to God. You just do whatever you want to do. Look at what we're doing. Look at how we're getting away with it. Look at what we'll get from it. It's not that big of a deal. No one will know. In fact, you'll have a good time. You'll come off better than you were in the very beginning. The pull and the push and the tug of this world is strong. Remember true north. And when people around you encourage you to go south, don't listen. Don't turn your back on God. Remember His heart for you. In fact, you might turn a page or two over to Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Here is east. Here is the rising of the sun, if you will. Here is where the light after the darkness begins to show itself again. Proverbs chapter 3, you begin reading with me in verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Remember His heart for you. Trust Him with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Remember the right posture, the right attitude. Fear the Lord, true north, and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline. Does your Creator have the right to tell you wrong way, wrong thinking, wrong attitude? If He doesn't, you have an eternally serious perspective problem. He has every right. It is simply a matter of whether or not I will listen. Because the Lord reproves those whom He loves as a father the son in whom He delights. Here's West, Proverbs chapter 4. Verse 23, keep your heart, guard your heart, take this seriously. Again, this is so much deeper than having my body in a church pew on Sunday morning and my mind and my heart a million miles away. This is who your Creator wants you to be. This is the one and only heart He has provided you. Created in His image. Find north. Fear Him with all your heart. Turn away from evil. Trust Him. Don't lean on your own understanding. Trust His heart. And then guard yours. Because that's what life for the rest of your life flows from. Four simple compass points for life.
Could I invite you to join me as we close in the New Testament book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1? In just a moment, we want to sing an invitation song inviting anyone who could use the help of their Creator, freely available, powerfully available this morning. Before we do that, could I make sure you're aware of the best news ever? Because this is not simply wisdom in black and white in a book. Already it is valuable beyond all of the gold or the silver put together in all of the world. But it's even better than that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul is unashamedly reminding Christians in Corinth, listen, not many of you are wise according to this world. The world looks at you and they are not just blown away by your amazing insight and sophistication. But here's what you know. You know the wisdom of your Creator. You know the wisdom of a God who took a cross, an instrument of shame, and turned it into a vehicle of salvation. You know the God who didn't just ordain a cross, but allowed himself to be nailed to a cross. And he says, listen, this is 2,000 years ago. When people look at that, they don't see wisdom. They don't see insight. They see foolishness. When they look at people who have devoted their lives to that, they easily look down on you. Paul said 2 millennia ago. But you have placed yourself under the mighty hand of an infinitely wise God. You look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 28. God shows what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. If we're going to boast, let's boast in the best. He's the best. And because of Him, you are in Christ Jesus. Listen to this. Who became, Christ Jesus became to us, wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So that as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. Jesus always lived what was right. And that's why His sacrifice can wash away your sins. That's why His sacrifice can redeem me from my slavery. But only if I submit to the wisdom of God. And so when people asked, in real life, they asked, how can we come to be in Christ Jesus? They were told to turn away from sin, turn away from rebellion, turn away from selfishness, turn away from the wisdom of this world that isn't working. Just look at the world. It's not working. Turn. And be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That promise Peter preached in Acts 2 is for you and your children and for all who are far off. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, that wisdom has echoed around the world through the centuries all the way to this morning. God has provided compass points for life. If you're ready to express your need for Him this morning, if we can pray with you, for you this morning, if you're ready to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, who became to us wisdom from God, and we can help, would you let us know how we can help you by coming to the front while we stand and sing together?